prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Place.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're supposed to be the views of Bob Chapin, but Bob hasn't called in yet. First time, I think maybe the second time in a couple of years he's missed a call, so I hope he isn't ill or that they haven't done him in or that we'll just have to wait and see and hope he does call in. So it's really going to look like it's going to be open lines and you're going to have to give us a call or it's going to be a long, long hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. But we're probably going to talk about what's happening financially. And certainly so much of what is being put out by the controlled media is set up just to confuse you. Now, certainly if we look and see what's happening as far as our new government is concerned, we're told, oh, my goodness, you know, Obama is going to bring change. Well, let me tell you that he is surrounding himself with exactly the same people who are always in charge. They come from the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30, and they are a subversive group, and their dedication is to the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States and bringing about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and a one-world religion. And really what's so fascinating as we see this whole incredible story unfold is that they're not specifically telling you what's going on. Let's look at the State Department and the people who are going to be in Obama's State Department. Now, there have been, six, seven people appointed so far. Seven people, eight people, the Secretary of the State, of course, the Secretary of State will be Hillary Clinton, although she's not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderbergers or the Trilateral Commission. Her husband belonged to all three of them. But her Deputy Secretary of State, the one who will really run the office there, is a man named James Steinberg. He just happens to come from the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, there's six other people who've been appointed. Three of those come from the Trilateral Commission. Four or five of them come from the Council on Foreign Relations. Two come from the Bilderbergers. There's only two of them, of the seven people who've been appointed besides Hillary Clinton, who do not belong to one another aspect of the Brotherhood of Darkness. They always control our State Department, but they can't let the American people know. If you get my December newsletter, we simply point out the fact that the National Security Advisor, the head of security, of the Admiral Blair, they all come from the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderbergers, and you will have a complete list there at the upcoming newsletter. Well, Bob Chapin, thank you so very much for being with us. I was getting a little worried that. Bob, are you there?
I am here.
All right, fine. I was getting a little worried there. I was going to do a monologue for an hour. Anyway, bring us up to date with what's going on. Boy, they sure hit gold today, didn't they?
Yeah, and, you know, over the last, in fact, I was just writing about it for Wednesday's issue, and as you know, I update every day, and I was just writing about that, and over the past month, the increase, you got a break?
Well, we have just a moment here. So if you want to wait until we get to back from the break,
yeah, let's
that's
wait
fine.
Until we get back.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, and we'll be back with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. We're really talking about what's going on as far as the, certainly as far as the price of gold is concerned. They knocked it down. They knocked it down a long way today. It was down well over $30. Silver was down, and there is no reason for it. In fact, everything suggests that these things should be going up. So obviously they're being manipulated. And just as we saw in 60 Minutes last night, if you watched that, a discussion of how they manipulated up the price of oil to $147 a barrel, and then manipulated the price of oil back down again. It was all done by the commodity traders, so that's exactly what they're happening with silver and gold today. Only they're manipulating things down, having nothing to do with their value or supply and demand. And if you believe supply and demand plays a part, you are incredibly naive. You pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, I spent 28 years on Wall Street, and nothing has anything to do with reality, and everything has to do with everything that is corruption. One of the things that has occurred is that the open interest in gold has been climbing, and the position gained about 125 contracts. And then 81,000 of them were just, 8,100 were just in the last week. I don't have the figures right in front of me. Here we go. The commercial short position in gold has risen 153,000 short contracts over the past month and 81,000 over the past week.
Now, who actually is taking off those short contracts?
Oh, it's the U.S. government.
All
they're
right,
the
fine.
Ones who are doing the shorting, and of course the commercials, which are the pros, they're not going to tell you that because, you know, they don't want to fight the government, and if they argue, they lose the business and may, you know, find themselves out of business or maybe even worse. Now, you know, usually there's a reason for what they do, and in this case, I'm going to read you something. I just wrote it, and it'll be out on Wednesday. One of our short recommendations did poorly again. J.P. Morgan Chase, which we set as a short at $39.36, and reminded you of a pending breakdown of 29 last week, finished Monday, which is today, off $1.09 to close at $24.91. We are told by our spies that Morgan is in very serious trouble.
Hold on, Tom. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And he said, of course, that the somebody working probably with a plunge protection team, that is, of course, the working group on financial markets, you can find it exists. Go up on the Internet and Google it in. It is a government, and it's a branch of government. It's made up of people from the Federal Reserve, the Commodity Trading Boards, the SEC, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I believe the U.S. Treasury, they all work together to manipulate the markets. And it was originally there to prevent panic, but now, of course, they manipulate routinely to enrich themselves. But, of course, if you know which way the market's going, which way the commodities are going, you can make a lot of money. That's the Working Group on Financial Markets or the Plunge Protection Team, and they've taken out a lot of short contracts, and they're driving the price price of gold and silver down. And of course, then Bob was talking about a J.P. Morgan Chase. And of course, this is maybe the second largest bank in the United States, but it's in terrible financial situation. And you were just saying that it really looks like it's quite, is it moving towards insolvency or what?
Yes, I think they're already insolvent. As I say, Morgan is short both major, which is gold and silver, in a big way, not only in the pits, but also in the derivative market. And this is a way of freshening their balance sheet by driving down the prices of gold and silver to make their balance sheet look better, because you're short. And so they would like lower prices. The problem is so great, and the ability to hold the market down without using physical is impossible. And so that's why every Monday you'll see the price of gold get knocked down, and by Friday it's back up again. And they just can't hold it down. And this is a stop-off, if you may, in the movement of gold and silver so that Morgan could take an advantage. I think it's going to cost probably anywhere between $500 billion and $2 trillion to bail Morgan out. Citigroup is going to cost $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion, and the AIG is $500 billion to $1 trillion. And these are incredible amounts of money. And that's what's going on. That's why gold and silver got hit today.
But where is the money?
What I didn't say was that Morgan finished off $1.09 at $24.91, which is a total breakdown. I had thought about doing a cover at 23, and I took it out. Next stop, I think, is 11. And it may end up down even lower. And Goldman Sachs is in the same boat. They're going down to the same numbers. And that's one of our shorts at $199 a share. It's trading around 74. So the people who are short that and Morgan have made a lot of money. But the point here is that is why today got blasted. Because I was told by people that is the reason why.
Well, we're living in very uncertain times. Our whole financial structure of this nation is very, very shaky. Most of our banks are insolvent. And, of course, a lot of this is being intentionally done because I believe they want to destroy our economic system. If they did not want to destroy the economic system, they would have taken the TARP funds and they would have bought up the troubled assets. That was what it was for. The TARP program was the troubled asset relief program. They were going to buy up the troubled assets, the subprime mortgage bonds which are out there, which are destroying the banking system, not only in the United States, throughout the world. And instead of then doing what was logical to try to stop the system, Henry Paulson gave the money to his friends on Wall Street, who then invested in foreign banks. They have no shortage of money. They got plenty of money there. And apparently they were simply just investing it all throughout the rest of the world, but not investing it here in the United States, because they get plenty of money. They're just not investing it because they're working in concert, because I think they're all in this together to destroy our economy, impoverish our people, and then bring in a new monetary system over the, of course, the ashes of what's going to happen. But in the process, they're going to end up, of course, impoverishing our people. So go right ahead, Bob.
As you know, I agree completely with that. And not only were they using money to lend it out to foreign banks and via certificates of treasury certificates and other things, we're talking trillions. But they also used it for bonuses and for dividends, which of course it was never intended. And I see today that Mr. Obama and our now ex-President Bush are going to force Congress to come through with the extra or the second tranche of $350 billion. to give more money to the banking system. And, of course, Congress says that they're going to watch them and make sure they do what they're supposed to with it, and on and on and on. And, of course, you know it's all lies. And
that's what they said about the first amount of money. You know, we're going to have oversight. You know, we're going to be sure it's done right. The Treasury and the Fed will not tell Congress what they've done with $2 trillion. They can't find out what the banks have done with the $350 of the $700 billion that they got, the TARP funds. I mean, Congress is totally irrelevant. In fact, they've already gone ahead and spent part of the second $350 million. And that on the GM bailout, when Congress said they weren't going to put the money up, and they just went ahead and spent it anyway, Congress is totally irrelevant. They pat them on the heads. They tell them how important they are, and then they totally ignore them, and Congress does not have the courage to hold any of these people responsible for stealing literally trillions of dollars. They've already put out somewhere between $8 and $9 trillion during the last year. If you haven't read my November newsletter, we simply list from the Federal Reserve Board statistics exactly where the money went. Somewhere, well, at the time I wrote it, I think it was 7.4 trillion, but they put out another trillion since that time, you know, on some of these other, their buddies in Citigroup and AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they're really just raping and pillaging our country. And this is what people don't understand. Why would taxpayer money be going for expensive weekends, a $440,000 weekend for about 10 executives from AIG? Why would we be paying exorbitant bonuses to the people in the banks, you know, who have actually brought on this havoc? Why would we be paying dividends to the stockholders of these banks, you know, who were foolish enough to invest in insolvent banks or banks which would become insolvent? Why is it our responsibility to pay the bonus and the dividends? I mean, those banks should have been let go down and just collapse so you could get some honest banks in there. But they're not about to do that, are they?
No, they're not going to do that. And they're going to keep doing what they're doing until we stop them. And obviously the Congress won't do it, because they're all paid off or compromised, with the exception of a handful. And our Supreme Court is laughable, as the rest of our court system. That's why Mr. Obama is going to be allowed to continue as President of the United States, even though he's a citizen of or was born in Kenya. And they do what they want. And so, you know, Americans, your work's cut out for you. The system is not an avenue for you to go through anymore. It's over. And you just better prepare yourself, because, number one, the economy is going to collapse. It's not going to happen overnight. Over the next 2 to 3 years, maybe sooner, but next 2 to 3 years, it'll be deliberately collapsed. The big international corporations and the insurance and finance, Wall Street, banking will all be saved, except for the people who are not part of the Illuminati. And the country will experience 35% unemployment. And incidentally, the new figures on unemployment are long-term unemployment 17.5%. These are government figures. The intermediate, that's the U4 figure. The U6 figure is 13.5%. Those are the people out of work who have already collected the limit at this time of unemployment. And so they're on their own, so to speak. And that's 13.5%, which is probably the more truthful figure, or usable figure, because there's a lot of people in the U4 17.5% category that go back to 1990. And the third figure, 7.2%, is totally irrelevant. And so these are official figures. So the U6, the intermediate term unemployment, in reality is probably somewhere around 15 to 16% already. Already. And we're not really into this. Now, we've been in a recession for 2 years. That's February, 2 years ago. I said, we're going in. This is it. Besides Gary Schilling and Nabini, the professor, we're the only ones that I know of that made that announcement. And a government says that we're still not in a recession, if you can believe that. Still, 95% of analysts and economists say we're not in recession. I mean, these people must be out of their minds. And we're really in phase one of perhaps three or four phases. And phase two will be hyperinflation, real hyperinflation, along with stagnation. Phase three will be when hyperinflation dies and deflation, depression take over. I expect that's 2 or 3 years away. And when that happens, you are not going to believe what's going to happen.
Well, I'm afraid...
The United States will be upside down.
I'm afraid there's going to be tremendous unrest in our cities, and I think it's all planned. I think they've got their agitators already out there. Well, Bob, you pick up the story.
Because there is no avenue for the people, and of course, this sort of thing works both ways. You can control Congress and the courts and the entire system, but you put the public in a corner by doing that, and the public will react like rats will. They'll attack. Now, I think that the people behind the scenes controlling things thinks that they can handle that. I get news for them. They're not going to handle it. If they think they're going to take people's weapons away from them and their gold and silver or their home or their cars, they're sadly mistaken. America will have a revolution. And I see nowhere else for it to head but there. When you have 35% unemployment, and we're not that far away from it. We're halfway there. And they're just recognizing that perhaps 6 months ago a recession started. Give me a break. They're in serious trouble.
Well,
what they're going to do is they're starting a backdoor war. Now, the Bush administration, that part of the Illuminati gang, didn't want a direct attack on Iran because they get blamed for it. And so you saw the news that came out today that said, oh, Mr. Bush stopped the attack that Israel wanted to make. So what they did, in reality, was this backdoor maneuver by going into Gaza, sucking in Lebanon, eventually Syria and then Iran. And they expect to have, you know, this giant war going on. And you get Pakistan, which will be involved as well. You've got Afghanistan, which is an ongoing movement. And you may even get India involved. And so you're going to have a conflagration raging. And, of course, the government will say, well, we need more troops. So let's have a draft, men and women both, and let's ship them off to get them killed. And that's where we're headed.
Well, I hope that we do not have civil unrest, because if we do, that will just give them the excuse that they want to impose a dictatorship, because I really believe that there are people who want a dictatorship in America, and they want one throughout the world. And I'm sure they have their agitators out there doing everything they can to whip the people up into a frenzy. And our job is to get people to understand what's going on, but to realize, of course, that there's so many more of us than there are of them. And what we need to do is expose them, and then we need to expose the powerful spiritual forces that energize the wicked people within the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, which are subversive organizations dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of our country. And that's my definition of a subversive organization. People must understand that these people today control our government. It's time we took America back. Well, Bob, you know, as far as the knocking the gold down, how soon do you think it's going to come back again? Do we have any idea? Can they keep it down in the low 800s for a few months, do you think, before it begins to come back again? We hear that Merrill Lynch has come out and said that it's going to be well up over, probably $1,100, $1,200, by the middle of next year, probably $2,000 by the end of this year. What are your thoughts?
It's possible, but I don't think it's probable. I think that gold is ready to go, and they know it. I don't think that they have the gold to continue to suppress the market. Either that or they don't want to let any more go. They're using the derivative market to do it. And in part what J.P. Morgan's all about.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, we were simply talking about the manipulation of gold prices by the Working Group on Financial Markets, the so-called plunge protection team, and how they've artificially lowered the price of gold. And, of course, Bob thinks it's going to come back again. And then his remark was, well, that's what the fall, progressive fall in the stock value of J.P. Morgan Chase, which, incidentally, is, what is that, about the second largest bank we have, Bob?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, fine. Now, that's what the steady fall in the price of the stock of J.P. Morgan Chase is all about. Would you like to pick up from there?
Yes, and so you have the five what they call money center banks. Now they call them legacy banks. And, you know, what that means, I really don't know in this case. But that's what they're calling them on Wall Street. And these legacy banks are all broke. The major brokerage houses, they're all broke. And the whole thing is a big lie. You saw the biggest insurance company in the world, AIG, go under. They're bailing them out. Why? Because of their derivatives and the fact that they've been a cover and a working black operation for the CIA since the Second World War. And it's also a money laundering. It was a money laundering organization. And so you're going to see these top companies continue to be bailed out. And the ones that are not in the group, they'll let them go down. Now, there's a lot of insurance companies that are going to be in trouble. And people continue to ask me, well, what about my insurance? And I say, I don't know. Because they're all lying, too. We don't know what they've got in their balance sheet and what they don't. And what has been sequestered off someplace to the side that says, we'll bring that on board later on the balance sheet. And, you know, let me tell you something. The government just gave Hartford Group, which is Hartford Insurance, in Lincoln, a couple of $1 billion apiece. I don't know the exact figure. I can't remember. You don't give $1 billion or $2 to an insurance company if they're solvent. They're insolvent. They have to be. Otherwise, someone's got to explain to me, why would you want to give them that kind of money?
Well, but again, why are they letting the people from Goldman Sachs, you know, buy up IndyMac, which is worth about $13.4 billion, and they're going to get it for $1.3 billion? I think they're just transferring the wealth of the American
people.
And
it's $100 billion more in bad debt that they were hiding.
Right. But we're going to have to pick those up. We're going to have to end up picking those up, and the people from Goldman Sachs are going to get a steal.
Well, those are ex-employees, but it's all in the family,
right,
so to speak. And what do you think the foreigners are going to think? They have to stop, even if they're part of the group, they have to stop buying U.S. Treasuries. Now, the only alternative to that is that the Treasuries will be purchased from the Treasury by the Federal Reserve. And that money, which is made up out of thin air that goes to the Treasury, is totally and completely and immediately monetized,
and
which means inflation from that money immediately becomes virulent and goes into the system. And that's the next spot, which means sometime before the year is out that the, and I want to check the rate on this, the 10-year, now the 10-year and the 30-year note and bond are difficult to manipulate. And the 30-year, a 10-year, is yielding 231. I expect it to be 4% by the end of the year. Now, you might think that that's not very much, but let me tell you, it is. It is very much. And it's going to upset the apple cart in as much as it's going to make money more expensive for the mortgage market than it is right now. So if you want to get a new mortgage at 4.5% or 4.5% 30-year fixed, go get it. Go get a new loan. That'll probably last in September, October, November, and that'll be the end of it because the rates are going to go up. They've even got LIBOR down. The three-month LIBOR was 4.625%. It closed today at 1.16%. Incredible. Now, many of the loans are based on LIBOR.
You lower the interest rates, of course, you stimulate the economy. You lower the interest rates to stimulate the economy, but this is inflationary. And, of course, down the line, of course, all the inflationary chickens are going to come home to roost. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to inflation. And they know what they're doing. This is the thing. These people are not stupid. They have a very good idea of what it's about. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about what's going on in the financial market. Certainly, Bob, I've been reading some of the things that Peter Schiff says. What do you think about Peter Schiff's comments?
I think the only thing I disagree with him on is the decoupling issue. And I think that's born of the fact he's a stockbroker, and he specializes in foreign securities. And Peter's a very nice fellow, and it's okay professionally to disagree on small matters. And he believes that the second and third world will decouple from the first world that's having all these problems. And he's wrong. We're already seeing it in Asia. I just wrote a piece this morning on the drop in exports for South Korea, China, Japan, both externally to the European and U.S. market and also to the intermarket from, like, South Korea to China, from China to Japan, and so on and so forth. And, you know, they're all off 30-40%. And that's those big numbers have been in vogue now for 2 months. But it's been coming that way anyway. Look, all of these people export 20-30-40%. 5% of their GDP is in exports, depending on which country. China's the biggest. It's around 45%. South Korea is probably around 20%. And if they're not exporting, then they can't make any money. And they get the same problems that every other nation has. And they are going to be affected and infected by this depression that's headed our way. Nobody is going to escape it. The only place to be is in gold and silver related assets. And if you have to have a currency, it's the Swiss franc in the form of Swiss franc treasuries, government bonds. And I don't have any other answers beside that. But I do know this. The whole world is going to suffer. Probably half the countries, if not more, in this world are going to have revolutions. This is going to be something that you will not believe.
Well, I fear that you're right. I can just see that, you know, how the economy of countries throughout the world is literally collapsing. I certainly they're having terrible problems in China. So many people, I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of people unemployed who are hoping for a better life, and now it's not coming. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Bob is just saying that he thinks that the governments throughout the world, about half of them, are going to have revolutions and collapse because of the coming economic contraction, the unemployment, and the destruction of the value of their currency, and the robbing of the people of their pensions, of their insurance policies, everything in their own currency, as the currencies throughout the world begin to cascade into collapse. And of course, America is going to go exactly the same way, because this is what is planned. They are specifically not trying to address the program. They're spending a lot of money to give you the idea they're doing something, but the real issue, which is the troubled assets of the subprime mortgages, they steadfastly refuse to try to address that or to get those. They're talking about buying government, pardon me, buying home mortgages, but they're buying of Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac mortgages. Those are not the subprime mortgages that are simply dragging not only our economy, but the entire world economy down, because they've been put into bonds, and those bonds then make up a large part of the reserves of banks throughout the world. Well, Bob, before we go on, why don't you go ahead and give out your webpage or tell people how they can get in touch with you and get a copy of the International Forecaster if they'd like.
The Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues worldwide. We publish on Wednesdays and Saturdays via email. Usually runs around 35 pages each time. And we also have, for those who are not on the Internet, a hard copy that goes up, out twice a month. You can get a free introductory copy from any of these three entities, which are our site, TheInternationalForecaster.com, TheInternational, FORECASTER.com. You can email us. That address is International_Forecaster@Yahoo.com, International_Forecaster@YAHOO.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
And I know people all across the country, indeed, all across the world, looking forward to getting the International Forecaster twice a week. It's a fascinating source of information. And right now, of course, let's go to Rob, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. I'm actually an International Forecaster subscriber. Well, an incredibly informative newsletter.
All right, fine. Well, I think Bob will appreciate that little plug. Go ahead.
My question to Bob is, Bob, what do you know about the nature of the financial records that were in the O'Meara Building and Building 7 in New York? How do you think that relates to some of the things that are happening in finances, and why, for that purpose, those particular buildings were devastated the way they were?
Well, you know, it's never been one of my fortes, that involvement, that black op operation by the people behind and in government. But if I remember correctly, first of all, there was gold in the vaults in the bottom part of one of the structures. But I understand from sources that we have that that gold was taken out prior, several days prior, to the building coming down. As far as records are concerned, there were a couple of brokerage firms in there, and it was also a government agency in there, in which the people who were in those offices got killed, and their records were destroyed. And the government records pertain to clandestine operations and things that involve money and money laundering and stuff like that by people within and connected with the government. And the same thing with the brokerage firms. I think one in particular was Cantor Fitzgerald, but I'm not sure. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I really haven't stayed close to that because so many people covered it, and it's just the overview that I have seen from the investigating reporting by others that I form my own opinion that this wasn't a bunch of disgruntled Muslims. This was a U.S. government backdoor operation.
Well, all we need to do is remember, of course, a couple of things. First of all, there were all sorts of military operations that morning that simulated hijacked planes crashing into buildings. There were actually some 28 different hijackings reported that morning, and this is covered in an article in Vanity Fair and covered in my little pamphlet on Foreknowledge 9111. And basically, they just intentionally confused, you know, the NORAD and FAA, and then, of course, the planes were right close to Washington, D.C., weren't launched. Instead, they launched planes from a long way away, and instead of sending them to Washington, D.C., they sent them out over the Atlantic Ocean. Why would you send planes out over the Atlantic Ocean when Washington, D.C. is just about to be attacked by an incoming hijacked plane? None of this makes sense. But anyway, if you've ever seen the pictures of Shanksville in Pennsylvania, a plane, we're told, crashed into this hole, but there's no luggage. How could you possibly crash a plane into a hole with no luggage there? There was luggage. It was spread over some 8 square miles, but not at the crash site. Maybe we haven't been told the truth. Anything else you want to say, Rob?
No, thank you both for being on the air. God bless and meet you both.
And God bless. And you get the rest of the people there in Santa Cruz listening to us, will you?
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, fine. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Bob, it's my contention, and I'd like your thought on this, that we're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever occurred in the history of mankind. And of course, they're taking it from the poor people and the middle class people in this country and transferring it to the wealthy. Do you think that that's really what's going on, at least in part?
Absolutely. And I think it compares comparatively with the latter days of the Roman Empire as well. The last 100 years, the corruption was inconceivable. And, of course, it led to the collapse of the empire when it was invaded and overturned. And I don't know that we're going to be invaded by anybody in this instance. But I do know that economically and financially, politically and socially, there's going to be massive changes. Changes that people in all countries, many of them are not going to be able to handle. A lot of people are going to die of starvation, never mind interstellar warfare. This is going to be terrible, nasty, awful. And it's not something to look forward to. And, all of the things that you and I have been talking about for the last 12 years or so on your program, and that is get out of debt, particularly credit card debt, get your insurance, which is dehydrated and freeze-dried foods, a water filter, a way to defend your family, and then get gold and silver-related assets if you can afford to do so. And that's what you got to do. You and I have been singing the same song for a long time, and we've saved people an awful lot of grief already.
Well, I do know that a lot of our listeners certainly have got themselves out of the stock market, have positioned themselves in precious metals, and they've laid in the supplies, they're ready for the difficult times. At least they're not going to panic. What bothers me is that as things get worse, people are going to panic, and that's the worst thing in the world you can do. If you know what's coming, you understand what's coming, you make the preparations for it, you have your relationship with the Lord, because this is a spiritual battle. The people who've done that are going to be able to survive. It may be difficult, but at least they'll be survive and ability to help others. The rest of the people, and you try to tell them now, and most of them just sort of look at you and yawn, or they sort of snicker, you know, my shortage of food in America. Why? That couldn't happen. Collapse of our economy, a collapse of our currency, the destruction, you know, of the integrity of our society, and the beginning breakdown of areas and not being able to get adequate health care, that may happen other countries, but it would never happen here. And I would like to ask, if God is just, why couldn't it happen here? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman for the International Forecaster. We're talking about some of the things that are going on today. And, of course, it's amazing if you stop and think of it. You can go into Detroit today, you can buy a home there, on average, for $18,000. Last year they were $40,000. This year they're $18,000, and who knows where they'll be next year. You may be able to get a home in Detroit for $10,000. Well, but that'll never happen in California. And why would you think it wouldn't happen in California, for the average home, if things continue going the way that we do, and there's increasing social unrest? And everything points to the fact that this is exactly where we're going to. We've got Mark calling from San Jose. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Doc. I've read this book, The Creature from Jekyll Isle, by Edward Griffith.
Right.
And you were interviewed by Craig Roberts on KFAX 1100. And I gave him that book, and I gave Lee Rogers on KSFO 560, the Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. What do you think about those books, and what are those books all about?
Well, why don't you answer that, Bob, and then I'll answer.
Well, I'll do one, and you do the other.
All right,
and,
fine. Which one do you
Ed
want?
Ed Griffith's been a friend of mine for 48 years.
No, he'd been my friend for 46 years. You go right ahead.
Well, I'm older than you are.
I know you are.
You're older than me. But anyway, the book is fantastic. It happened that way. It's easy to read. It's informed millions and millions of people. I've been recommending it for years, just like Stan has. And on top of it, he's a prince of a guy, one of the nicest people I've ever met. And Tragedy and Hope tells you exactly what the Illuminists were doing before and during that time that it was written, and what their goals are.
That book, Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time, was written by a liberal college professor. His name was Professor Quigley. But he was an honest man. Now, he, of course, liked the idea of an elite ruling the world. He had actually researched what was going on in England and found there was a secret society there. He tracked that for 20 years. He wrote a book called The Anglo-American Establishment. Could never get that book actually published until after he died. We do carry the book. But Tragedy and Hope was so revealing because it goes into the background of finance. It goes into the background of the central banks. On page 324, it talks about how the central bankers of the world, first of all, the central bankers create money out of nothing. That's page 325, quoting the one of the bankers over there in Great Britain. The most carefully kept secret is that bankers create money out of nothing. But on 324, he talked about how the bankers had secret meetings, and which they plotted on how they were going to control the respective countries, and their goal was to set up a feudalistic system. Well, of course, the book was so revealing that somebody came in, bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and actually destroyed the plates of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And we have that whole story on an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells that. We're the only people who have it. Of course, I'm sure other people circulated it now, but I purchased the right to the tape from Professor Quigley's widow. And Professor Quigley tells how his book was actively suppressed for many years and then how it came to be back in print again. But we carry the book, we carry both of the books. The Creature from Jekyll Island by Ed Griffin tells the story of the Federal Reserve System that was created by the bankers, for the bankers, to enrich the bankers, and ultimately to destroy this nation. And then, of course, the Tragedy and Hope goes into the background of the secret society out of which the Federal Reserve System came that involves people of great wealth who have a different vision. They want a world government. Of course, Professor Quigley did not understand the spiritual forces that energize these people of great wealth. And if I was to be critical at all, and I think I hate to be because I think we're so indebted to Professor Quigley, but he had all of the evidence, all of the facts, it's all there in his books, and he totally missed the greatest story of all time. Not that the story he told wasn't important, but he missed the spiritual forces that energized these people of great wealth, who are working for the New World Order, the New World Financial System, the New World Currency, and the New World Religion. So I mean, I think they're great books. We carry them. We think everybody should read them. They're a lot shorter books, but there are no better books to give you an overview of the powerful forces which are directing the course of our nation. It doesn't matter whether you have the Republicans or Democrats in. That's what Professor Quigley says on pages 1247, 1248. Let the people go to the polls every 4 years to throw the scoundrels out. But we want a program where nothing will change. The foreign and domestic policy will remain the same, and that's exactly what's going on today. Well, Bob, you know, certainly we think they're excellent books. I know you do as well. So how are we going to get the people to understand that it doesn't really matter whether we vote for the Democrats or Republicans, because the leadership of both parties is controlled by exactly the same people? I mean, Barry Goldwater told us back in 79 that the purpose of the Trilateral Commission was to take over political control of the United States government. And you look at the people who are going to surround Barack Obama, and all the key positions are being given to people who are in one way or another affiliated with the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30.
Well, Team A was just replaced by Team B. And it's really that simple. It's the same old gang, the same old cult, the same old cartel. And there's not going to be any changes. There'll be changes which they want to make. In the programs that they have going forward, and there's many, many of them. But nothing's going to change because they control our electoral system in Congress as well as in the executive branch, as I said earlier. And they control the court system, and they do anything they want. I mean, as you all know, when a federal court judge tells the Treasury and Federal Reserve they want to know who's getting the $2 trillion or $700 billion, and what the collateral is for the loans, they say, no, we can't tell you that because it's a security issue and it's a state secret. Now give me a break.
And, of course, Congress appointed an oversight committee to find out what was going on. They go to the Treasury, and Treasury says, we're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you. We're telling you that the system is working great. Things are getting better. Well, if things are getting better, then why are more people losing their jobs? And why are more and more corporations shutting down all across America? We're going to lose about 200,000 businesses in America this year. And, of course, an awful lot more people are going to lose their jobs and their homes and their automobiles. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You always give me the easy part. Anyway.
Well, I do. That's what we do for an honored guest.
Well, for a guy who doesn't talk very much, it's a hard job. Hardly. Well, anyway, we did cover a lot of what went on the market today. I'm very surprised that the market didn't rally into the coronation of our new president. What are we, 10 days away or 8 days away?
Well,
it's
9 days. It's going to be on the 21st, I think it is, and this is the 12th, so it's 9 days from now.
And I thought they would try to take the market up, maybe to 9,500 or something like that. And, of course, it did rally forward, but, you know, the rally didn't stick. And we had it swing back again today. It was off 125 at 84.74 on the Dow. And it doesn't look good. Monday and Tuesday are usually good days for the market, and actually, the market came back toward the close from a higher minus number. In fact, the Standard & Poor's 500 and the NASDAQ 100, if you'll extrapolate them into Dow points, were not down 125. They were down 181 and 197. So I see the market opening up lower in the morning, and I see gold opening up higher. And I'm surprised, and although I didn't expect any rally higher to work out into anything strong and permanent, it was a political thing that I thought they'd do, and it looks like so far they haven't done that unless they go to work there, the plunge protection team, and take it up here 1,000 points in the next 5 or 6 business days, which is possible, but any rally up there is not going to last. By the end of this year, we'll be at 6,000 on the Dow and maybe lower. And the following year, I'm looking for 38 to 4,200 on the Dow. And that was a big support level, as was 4,000 to 4,500. And so somewhere down in there, if we're lucky, that's where it's going to stop. But, you know, who knows? You know, I've lived this whole thing from 1960 until today. And the reason I have such fluidity with the numbers and the calls is because I lived them. I mean, you don't forget those things, and they should become old and senile. I'm old, but not senile.
Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got Judy calling from New York. Let's see if we can get Judy up here, and it's a little late. But Judy, you have a quick question. We're just about out of time.
Better late than never.
Right. Do you have a question? What part of New York are you calling from?
Let me applaud the two of you. And the two things are, when I opened up my account at Chase, they said, I said to the guy, well, banks seem to be emerging and disappearing. And he said, oh, this is going to be the only one left standing. So from what Bob Chapman is saying, it sounds like that's not true.
Yeah.
And also the second part is, can the government recall gold?
Can the government recall gold? I think they can do whatever they want to, Judy. I mean, they are a power unto themselves, and they don't really care about the law. That's the tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But all we can do is do our best and believe, hopefully, that we recover ourselves, and you want to diversify, 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 okay?
Okay, well, thank you. And Chase, is it just another bank?
Hey, pardon?
Well, I think they'll make them survive along with Morgan, but we'll have to pay a lot to do it.
Thank you very much. You're both so fair. It's
God,
a pleasure. God, thank
God
you.
God bless. Bye-bye, Judy. Okay, fine, Barb. I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much for being with us.
I'll see you next week.
Okay,
bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Bob Chapman. I hope you enjoy our conversation with Bob every Monday. And, of course, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and this is how we're able to actually get the truth out on over 60 outlets every single week, and we hope that we can maintain what we have. Just another one of our listeners today, a good, strong supporter, lost their job and are going to have to drop out from the Radio Liberty family of supporters. But, of course, if you are in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we want to mention, if you want to really know what's going on, let me suggest several things. One is my talk on the financial tsunami. I gave it in 2005, but there's a syllabus with it. And what we said and about what was going to happen, it's all coming to pass right now. And the syllabus is important. It explains to you what derivatives are, because that's the last big thing to go. We're talking about somewhere between 500 trillion. 500 trillion, not billion, not million, but trillion dollars and a quadrillion dollars of derivatives. Nobody knows how many are out there. But when that house of cards comes down, it's going to drag everything down with it. And as Warren Buffett said, these are potential financial weapons of mass destruction. Well, you could imagine what would happen if they dropped a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, a nuclear bomb on New York City. Well, imagine, of course, when we have the derivatives. Financial weapons of mass destruction. You really want to get the syllabus and, of course, the talk on the financial tsunami. Our pamphlets on the history of money. That's the history of money and the financial meltdown. And there's small little pamphlets. You'll certainly want to read our November newsletter. If you don't have access to the Internet, you can pull it down at RadioLiberty.com. If you can't do that, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the November newsletter. That's 1-800-544-8927. You'll certainly want to get the December newsletter. It should hopefully be out in relatively few days. And then certainly you'll want to get the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because it is a conspiracy. You'll want to get the book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And then my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will take you into the spiritual forces that are energizing all of these movements. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters. You can watch our DVDs. You can watch our DVD links. You can listen to our radio programs, you know. Well, you can listen to them 9 hours a day. You won't get anything accomplished, but 4 hours live, MP3, they're archived.